Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And that's only to those who are in the Spirit. But if you're not in the Spirit, hello. That's why it's so important to be walking in the Spirit. You know, I sense tonight that some of you have been getting convicted of certain things because of the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how the enemy works. You come out of a powerful 19 service, right? Last Friday was kicker. I mean, I'm telling you, if you didn't get touched, come and see me. But see what the enemy does. You remember, God prepares us for the attack. But so many people go and exchange the anointing for the things of the world. They go, see, let me tell you something. You must maintain the anointing. And then what happens is when you start exchanging the anointing, the purity of heart for the things of the world, and you think you're okay because the enemy has lied to you and you bit the bait, then you come in God's presence and all of a sudden you feel all of this conviction. Whoa, I didn't realize how much I just exchanged. It's because it's our responsibility to maintain the anointing in the presence of God. You never, never sell the anointing. Never sell the presence of God. Never make the exchange. That is the most precious thing in your life. You better die for it. Hello? That's the difference between religion and relationship. Because see, in the presence of God, in the anointing, the relationship is wonderful. Wonderful. When we were just worshiping the Lord, I was like, oh, Lord. Man, I just could go on and on and on. Light my wick, man. I'm out of here. I was about to explode. I'm ready. And I know God is trying to get his people mightily ready. See, the anointing and the power of God is for the next fight. If you don't maintain it, you lose the next fight. And there is no defeat in Christ. You must be confident, steadfast, that you will not lose no matter what. You don't lose battles, you win them. You're not allowed to lose battles. The only reason why people lose battles is because they make the wrong choice of the battle they're supposed to fight. You know, I just want to share this with you. After my visitation from the Lord, man, I wanted to go out and save the world. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Glory to God. What a testimony he'd blessed me with. I'm like, man, I wanted to tell everybody. And when people would prophesy and say, man, you're going to minister to the body of Christ. I didn't want to hear any of that stuff. Minister to the body of Christ? For what? You know, come on, let's get out there. We need to save the world. And the body of Christ should be out there saving the world. But there's so much garbage, so much religion, so much incorrect doctrine. So much, it's just dung. So much wrong belief systems that we spend more time healing the body of Christ because of so many breaches than going out and rescuing the souls. We spend more time healing the body. If everybody would just die, we'd be all right. Die to self. If everybody would just do whatever it takes. Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes my way. When I want to do it and how I feel. You'll never make it. You might make it home to heaven, but you'll never fulfill the perfect will of God on this side. This is why we're talking about emotional attachments. It's one of the enemy's plagues. It's how he moves people out of God's position. He moves people out of God's presence. He deceives, you know, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, don't turn there. You ought to know it by heart. My people are whipped. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is truth. Truth is life. See, if you don't walk in truth, you don't have life. Truth is life, and life is truth. And without it, you don't have it. So if the enemy can deceive you by the spirit of error and false doctrine and religious garbage, you're not walking in truth. That's why truth isn't setting people free, because they know it, but they don't believe it. Why? Because the belief system. Let me tell you, this Bible is true from beginning to end. It is truth. And there's more than just what's written here. Does everybody understand that there's more than what's written here? The Bible even tells us that there were so many things Jesus did, they couldn't write it all. So, but what we have is sufficient enough, and it's a guideline to help us. So the Bible is truth, right? It's knowledge. But knowledge that's not understood isn't truth. See, so truth is life, and life is truth. When you understand this, you're free. See, the thing is there are, you can't just read a part of it and then not read the rest of it. You can't believe one part and not the rest. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the author of this word. And the word is still being written. It's written in you. That's why you're the living epistle. It's written in you. It didn't stop at chapter 22. It's still going on. The Bible says that you and I stand before God. Books will be opened. Book of remembrance, book of life. Books will be opened. You're being recorded. Really? Yes, you're on candid camera. Heavenly camera. You are being recorded. So one of the things that the enemy does is he begins to control us by emotional attachments. And in these emotional attachments, it's because of the belief system. So emotional attachments cause you to have a self-image of something different than who you really are. See, when you were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're in the image and likeness of Christ. It doesn't mean you're going to stand in a mirror and look like Jesus, but his spirit is in you. But if you're truly in fellowship with him, you're going to begin to act and respond according to the way he did, in character, in ethics, in submission, in obedience, in surrender, and all those wonderful things, which is in the character of Christ. So we are on our third teaching of emotional attachments. Praise God. Go to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Hallelujah. Mark 16 and verse 16. Somewhere around there. I'll go to 15. And let's go to 14. Would you read it with me? Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their what? Unbelief in what? Hardness of a heart. Whoa, now these guys hung around with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. He rose from the dead. He comes before them. He shares with them and spends 40 days with them. And he gets before them, appears to them, and he rebukes them for their unbelief. And what? Hardening of heart. Unbelief and hardening of heart are always together. In fact, let me share something with you. This may sound strange to you. I want you to know that doubt is sin. Why? Because sin is the presence of evil. When you doubt, you're agreeing with the presence of evil. Unbelief. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of the heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now the word believe means to what? Follow. If you're a believer, you're a follower. So don't quote scriptures to me and not follow. Don't tell me how long you've been a believer and keeping that seat warm and not following. Because you're a liar. And you're deceived. Well, I've been a believer 35 years. Good. When are you going to cast out a devil, especially the one that's in you? You didn't come to get your ears tickled, did you? You came for freedom. Isn't the truth free you? Well, you got to believe, and your belief system's got to change. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these are the signs of those who follow me, or those who believe. And what does he say? In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. Hallelujah. Those who what? Believe. Those who follow. And they will speak with new tongues. That means they're going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And have a new prayer language. Well, that's only for the disciples. Well, you're an idiot. And you don't believe correctly. That's a misinterpretation of the Word of God. Why would God say you can do something and you can't? The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing's changed, just people's beliefs. And he said this, and he said, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Glory to God. What? That's a belief system. See, many people read the Scripture, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They read it, but they don't believe it. And this is where the enemy comes in, because he tries to alter your belief system. And he does that. He maintains a false belief system by emotional attachments. See, what you believe is what you perceive. If your belief system is incorrect, you're going to perceive things incorrectly, aren't you? In fact, your feelings are associated with things you perceive. So if your belief system is incorrect, your feelings are incorrect too. That's why you can't trust them. Why? Because your feelings are associated with what you perceive. Well, I just feel this way. Well, that means you're perceiving something. But if it's incorrect, your feelings are going to be incorrect. Are you understanding that? What you perceive. What you believe is what you perceive or what you feel. Now go to Mark 9. Mark 9, verse 17. You know, you got to do whatever it takes, no matter what. Listen, there were things I didn't understand when I first became a baby in Christ. I didn't understand those things, but I saw the fruit of those things affecting other people. So that caused me to believe that can happen, even though it wasn't happening with me yet. So if I just got off my blessed assurance and did it, I knew what happened to them would happen to me. And it did. So as I began to watch people praise and worship God, and I saw them change, I said, whoa, instead of moving 1 foot, I started moving 2. Instead of waving goodbye, I started waving hello. And things began to change in my life. And I began to realize that when troubles and stuff started happening to me, I just started dancing around and, hallelujah, I love you, Dad, and start praising and worshiping God. And the enemy had to step back because he couldn't stand it. See, because the devils acknowledge the anointing. It's so many people, when they get caught up in the emotional attachment thing, they begin to focus on that. Because the belief system has been altered. Their feelings are perceived incorrectly because of the belief system. And they go to what is most comfortable. And sometimes it's sin. Amen? Now, in Mark, where did I say to go? 9:17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who he has a mute spirit, and wherever it is, it seizes him, throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't. And Jesus answered and said, Now the Bible, I believe yours might say, oh faithless generation, but you can see that it's altered. It's supposed to be written, oh unbelief, unbelievers. Or, oh, unbelief. Does everybody understand that? Unbelieving. Oh, unbelieving generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell onto the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? I love this because Jesus didn't cast the devil out. This devil's manifesting in front of him. This kid is laying there foaming at the mouth, flipping, flapping. And Jesus looks at him and says to the father, how long has this been going on? You know, why? He wasn't emotionally attached, was he? So many people go, oh, could you go? You know, Jesus didn't. He wasn't emotionally attached. He was here to free people, not bring them in bondage. And he said, how long has this been going on? And the guy answered him and said, from childhood, in verse 22. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, let me share something with you. So many people give up. They give up. They start something, they give up. Oh, it's not going my way. It's not doing this. Too many quitters. People give up so easy. You know why? Because they're emotionally attached to something that's interfering with their belief system. Because things didn't go right here or things didn't go right there. They've never severed those emotional attachments. How many times have you started something you said, man, this is God! And then you stopped. Well, the enemy slipped in. Emotionally attached. There was something there that he brought up that you don't even realize that came up, and all of a sudden you agreed with it, and it was done and over with. You laid it all down. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Why? Because he knew. He knew. He wanted his unbelief gone. Because it was Jesus was standing right there. His son was dying, being demonized by this demon that's been trying to throw him in the fire, drown him in the water and everything. And Jesus stands there and waits for this guy to do something so he would move. What did he say? Help my unbelief. Good enough. Come out. You get it? Why? That man's belief system changed and it moved the hand of God. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, and he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer. Now, the word fasting is really not in its original writings. I'm telling you things that are not in the original writings, okay? They put that in there. Prayer and fasting, okay? Fasting is good, right? I mean, it's good. You can fast. But here he's talking about prayer. Prayer. Now, I'm talking about atmosphere prayer. Remember, Jesus went to places he couldn't do miracles because of their what? Unbelief. See, so when there's a stronger demon or something, in other words, you can't just go up and cast something out sometime. Sometimes there's God, you got to take time in prayer where people can touch and agree. Sometimes you need to change the atmosphere. That's how people get healed, is in the atmosphere of worship and praise. Why? Because their belief system has changed. Unbelief is being destroyed. Doubt is being destroyed. Does everybody get it? So when he says here, some things just don't come out without prayer and fasting, it's because he said, man, you need to change the atmosphere. Is everybody with me? Because wherever Jesus went, the atmosphere automatically changed. But he spent time in prayer, didn't he? Go to James 2. Now, faith, I don't know why we're talking about all this, but we're going to. Because I want you to understand that the thing that the enemy's trying to do is to, we must, first of all, change our belief systems so that we can walk in the image self-image of Christ. Amen? Because what he's trying to do is prevent you from walking in the self-image of Christ. He doesn't want you to know who you are. So we need to change this belief system. Now, faith is the fruit of belief. Because, now listen, faith is associated with what? Follow, work. Now doesn't the Bible say faith without what? Works. In other words, faith without belief is no good. In James chapter 2 and verse 14, would you go there please? And let's read this together. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? I want you to kind of look at that and replace that in your spirit with the word belief. In other words, because belief means to follow, to do. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to him, depart in peace, be warm and be filled, sister or brother, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself does not have, if it does not have belief or works, is dead. Does everybody see this? But someone will say, you have faith, but I have works or beliefs. Show me your faith, and I will show you my works or beliefs. And I will show you my faith by my belief. Y'all get it? You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works or without belief is dead? Y'all get this? Was not Abraham our father justified by works or beliefs when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? If he didn't believe, he wouldn't have offered a son, right? He wasn't just doing it by faith, let me tell you. Why? Because faith is a fruit of what? Belief. The belief had to be there first. That's why many people walk out an assumption and get in trouble. Because if there's not belief in it, it's called assumption. People go, I'm going out in faith. No, you're going out in assumption. Because there's not a belief there. Look at 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his what? Works or what? Beliefs. And by the beliefs, faith was made what? Perfect, or what we call complete. Do you see this? This is so important. This is why the enemy wants, he imparts the wrong belief system so that the self-image of Christ is not reigning in your life. But the self-image of what the devil has expressed to you is reigning in your life or in certain areas of your life. That's why there's not victory in every battle. Because you're still touching in the area of emotional attachments. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you change your belief system, right, will your self-image change? Yes. Now remember, thoughts have an image. Images have feelings. Feelings have emotions. Emotions have habits. 2 Corinthians 6:16, y'all there? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And I want you to understand something. In this, it's come out from the secular belief system. Come out from the secular belief system and do not touch what's unclean. What's unclean? The secular belief system. And I will receive you. And I'll what? Receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, he's saying, come out from among them. Come out from the secular belief system. Now, who's the ruler of the secular belief system? Satan. Satan is the ruler of the secular belief system. So he's saying, come out from the secular belief system that produces a satanic or evil image. Satan's image. Devil image. Remember when Jesus rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, devil? Peter was like, what? Come on, Lord, I'm trying to protect you. No, that was a secular belief system. You didn't need to protect God. And he says, your ways are trying to cause me to stumble. Your only concern is according to the world, not according to the will of God. See, so even Peter at that point in time, because of his belief system, secular belief system, he didn't have the image and likeness of Christ and the self-image of Christ, did he? Or he would have associated with it. He would have understood what Jesus was doing, but he didn't yet. Of course, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost yet either, but he was with the presence of God all the time. So the Bible's saying this, the Lord is saying, come out of the secular belief system that produces the devil image, all right? And come into the mind of Christ and allow God to be your Father. Your what? Father. You know, so many people, because of the emotional attachments and so forth, because of their childhood and whatever, they have a hard time having a relationship with the Father. They have a hard time with that. But see, if you come out of the secular belief system and into the mind of Christ and the belief system of God Almighty and His Word, there is a relationship that is awesome. And as you begin to sever these attachments, emotional attachments of the secular, you'll find that, man, there are things that you've been missing for a long time. Amen? That's why I go to Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind or your belief system, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's happening is we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? So that you have the self-image of Christ. So that you have what? The self-image of Christ. That's why when people are out of fellowship, the enemy begins to work. And they begin to lose that self-image and they begin to pick up secular belief systems. And they begin to exchange and sell what God just gave them. That's why the Bible, let me tell you, Jesus commands that we be in fellowship. He says, forsake not to assemble. Forsake not to assemble. Didn't Jesus say, my words are life? Amen. Well, when we get together, it's the Spirit that's bringing us words of life. You don't realize that when God is doing something, sometimes the enemy will try to move us out of position and we miss what God is trying to say. Just that one specific word that somebody misses could have changed their, if they would have got it, it would have altered their whole life. That's all it takes is one word from the Lord. And it's pew. Hallelujah. Go to Titus 3. Come on, we all, you know, the devil puts those excuses in us. You know, I'm too tired, I'm hungry, I worked all day. You know, I got things to do tomorrow. I don't have enough gas. But let me tell you, you get that gas and go get your paycheck. Nothing would stop you to go get that paycheck. When you were in the world, nothing stopped you from getting the dope or the drink. Or the lust or perversion, man, you'd go through great lengths. I mean, you call on everybody you knew from your past. Man, lend me $2. You go out and get 50 cents if you had to get to go get whatever. It's amazing, though. Because see, that self-image is still hindering. Hindering. Titus 3, in verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Sounds like secularism. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a what? Faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm when? Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Now what's works mean? Believe. Whoa. That you should be careful to maintain good belief. These things are good and profitable to man. Glory. Regeneration and transformation by the Holy Spirit. Of course, with the mind of Christ, what? To maintain good works. So you must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But see, the secular belief system, that self-image that portray, we won't listen to everything the Holy Spirit has to say. Because of that wrong self-image. We won't listen to everything. We'll only listen to things that are comfortable. Hello? We'll listen to things that are what? Comfortable or pertaining to blessing of self. I want to share something very important. Every emotional attachment is associated with people, a place, or a thing. A person, a place, or a thing. Now, we've heard that for years, right? If you went into wherever, those little meetings. I mean, yeah, people, places, and things, yeah, be careful of. Well, they were trying to tell you to stay away from people, places, and things of the old past, but the thing is they never share with you about severing them. Because our emotional attachments of people, place, and things. Especially like in environments. But I want to share a quick little scenario here. Like an abusive woman. I'm going to share this scenario so you get an understanding of people, place, and things. She has an abusive husband with jealousy, control, fear of losing her. So he degrades her to what? Try to keep her under control. He degrades her, doesn't he? By degrading her, he causes physical harm, tells her she's no good, she'll never amount to anything, forbidding her to look in the mirror to dress herself up and make herself look pretty for him. And consistently in the degrading, making her feel unworthy, ugly, bringing her in bondage. Guilt and condemnation have prevented her from moving into the plan of acceptance and the self-image of worthiness of God. Because of this belief system, every spirit would meet her to try and access her or use her, evil spirits, to keep her into this bondage. Now, I want to share something important, because in this, the person is the husband, right? The place, where do you go put makeup on? The bathroom. And the thing is the mirror. So now it's, if this individual is in the bathroom, certain things can trigger. Reminding. When I was in the drug world, boy, I spent a lot of times in the bathroom. I used to build barricades so you couldn't get in there. You come through that door, you die. Of course, every creature was out behind the other side of the door, and every police officer in town. But in this, the woman that comes in the bondage of this, So she goes in the bathroom, she looks in the mirror, and every time that there's those emotional attachments with those things. Does everybody understand that? So those things are attached. Why? Because in the environment, in that circumstance where the abuse was and went on for such a period of time, physical abuse and so forth, man, by just going to the bathroom would bring a reminder of that image. You're unworthy. By looking in the mirror would bring that image. You're no good. How can anybody love you? But that all was portraying a self-image, wasn't it? Where the devil was bringing bondage. Bondage. But you know, you can't avoid a mirror in the bathroom, can you? And the voice of the husband was constantly badgering. You could hear the voice, you know, because emotions have a voice. They have voices. And the person, the place, and the thing. And all these reactions of these emotions of guilt, oppression, low self-esteem, unworthiness, and eventually suicide. And the individuals who are caught up in these things, their eventual only release and result was suicide. When I was an addict, my only way out was to die. I tried to kill myself. I knew that nothing else would, I couldn't do anything else. Of course, I didn't know Jesus. He paid the price for me. But my only way out at that time was death. Man, if I walked by a phone booth, I would start shaking. Because we used to use phone booths, of course, and then cell phones came into effect and whatever. And certain things used to, because the emotional attachments of certain things would bring back that same image. You know how you can go to those programs and they tell you once an addict, always an addict. Good image. You know, when the Lord restored my wife and myself, her secular thought was, well, once he's an addict, always an addict, I better watch him. But I had to earn her trust. Because in this, the self-image of who I used to be was gone. This is where the word was being fulfilled. I am a new creation in Christ and all things have passed away. Now, when these things are, I want to say, imparted from the enemy, they begin to create habits. Why? Because a thought has an image has a feeling has an emotion has a what? Habit. So your habit is something you do automatically as a reaction or a response. So you may act in self-defense all the time. When somebody said, hi, how you doing? I didn't do anything! Whoa, dude. That's an automatic habit that people respond to. Why? Because of that self-image that the enemy has portrayed. Now, I want to step back a little bit further in the area that everything that the enemy utilizes is will always back up to the end result of control and enslaving individuals with fear. Because the enemy's power is fear. So he tries to cause things in individuals' lives so that fear is... Now, fear comes in many forms, shapes, words, and emotions. An unhealthy emotion is always somewhere along the line. It will always end up to the origination of fear. We just talked about something important about the area of three things that are causes the self-image and our emotional attachments, people, places, and things. Now, I want to go talk about environment, environmental conditions, right? Places. In other words, where you were conceived in your mother's womb, depending on what was going on in that environment. Did you ever see people, you know, they sing to the baby in the stomach, in the womb, you know. Hi, you know. And you read to the baby, even though the baby, why, that man, something's going on there, isn't there? You know, you rub the baby, you know, you swallow a basketball, you know, so the kid can play. Oh, come on. I know you can't swallow a basketball, maybe a golf ball, no. So all of these things, inherited image, right? And then these are inherited images that come down the family line. This is an area where the subconscious is being formed. Are you with me? I want to talk about an area of environment where somebody is brought up in a poor, very poor state, where the mentality, and don't be offended or anything, the mentality, I want to call it a welfare mentality, where the dependence is on the system. And that's all. So the child grows up and learns that the dependence is on the system all the way up. And their children are growing up to have the dependence on the system, no matter what it is. And it has nothing to do with race or anything. It depends on the individual and the family. Same thing, look at inherited things like sicknesses and diseases of diabetes and so forth. Well, what do people do? Because they've been, that self-image of the way people eat support that disease. So if you've got a family that's got a history of heart disease or diabetes or whatever, if you're eating the same way they are because of that self-image, you're going to get it too. I can't tell you how many people come up to me and say, yeah, that's in my family line, this, that, whatever. And they're expecting to get it too. Well, man, quit eating what you're eating then. Change it. Quit feeding that thing. So there's that poverty, the welfare mentality, using the system, depending on the government. Look at how much media influences, right? Now, who's the media used by? Darkness, amen. The media of false images of success or illegal operations to make money and live forever, you know what I'm saying? Environmental areas of violence. You know, because you see the same actor. That week he dies and he comes back in the next week. You know, he's in another movie. But you don't realize that the image that is in that's in place. Look at these kids that are going into the schools and just shooting. And so forth. They're playing Rambo, you know. So all of these things in the environment have an effect in the image, in the self-image. Even places of Weather conditions can affect an individual in a self-image. People were in a car accident or train accident or boat accident. How many people were, you know, they're afraid of water, afraid of flying, afraid of trains, afraid of boats, afraid of all kinds of stuff. Why? Because of certain things of a self-image. When people come to me and tell me their child is shy, it's because that child has a self-image. Image of fear. Shyness is not something cute. Shyness is a spirit of fear. And that child has had a trauma or it's been passed down. What about children that have seen their families or parents fornicate like it's okay? Or they've seen a death in their family. You don't think there was a self-image imparted there? You know, things that you and I grew up with in that area were against the law. And we just counted as, oh, well, you know, it's okay. You know, associate, even like brothers or sisters and things to that degree. Schools, education. You know, now they've imparted, they're putting in the, making it a curriculum of global warming. It's now a curriculum. Oh, hallelujah. That's secularism. They're idiots. They have no idea what the truth is. I'm going to just share a couple other things. Like a playground incident. There was a woman that we had talked with who had, she was, what do you call that when you purge yourself all the time? Bulimic. 20 years bulimic. She was in a playground. She was 5 years old. She was not fat at all. Somebody put their hand around her wrist, and because the person's hand was too small, the girl said to her, "You're fat." And this other girl made a covenant and said, "I'll never be fat in my life. I won't eat food if I don't have to." Well, she became bulimic. And when the Holy Spirit brought her to that incident and she severed it, that spirit left her and she never purged again. You understand why? Because there was an emotional attachment. What was behind it? Fear of being what? Fat. Now, there are many emotional attachments. But as you begin to find out some of the things that you're going through right now, you begin to see that there is a person, a place, or a thing involved that you must sever. Whether it was an accident, whether, you know, when you were a kid and somebody dropped you on your head, if you remember it, you know, whatever it is. No matter what. What about the agreements? When you went to the doctor and he gave you bad news? Well, it's an emotional attachment. Now, every time you hear it, you go, whoa. You know, people are afraid of cancer. But we're supposed to have dominion over cancer. Somebody mentions cancer or diabetes. People are afraid of diseases because of that emotional attachment of what the world has portrayed over them. Did you ever notice that when something happens to you, the first thing you think of is the worst? Oh, I got a lump on my arm. Man, did I bump it or is that cancer? That's self-image. You know, next thing you know, oh, God, help me. You pick up the phone, you call a doctor or whatever. You don't even give the Lord an opportunity. Healthy and unhealthy emotions. Amen? It could have been, look at nightclubs. Remember when people used to go to bars and stuff? Oh, whoa. Talk about unhealthy emotions. You could see the manifest when you turn the light on. What about a vacation you were on? Did something occur? I mean, I'm talking about some of the simplest things. See, because every time that something happens, you see it. The thing is we don't pay attention to what we see. But if you begin to pay attention to what you see, you begin to see what you're responding to or what you're reacting to. And you'll be able to sever that emotional tie. Remember, and this is important, always look at the area of who told you that and where did you come from? If you will ask yourself that question, who told me this and where did you come from, and follow it through, you'll get to the root and go beyond. See, the root had to start from somewhere. It had to be planted by a seed. If you'll ask yourself, who told me that and where did you come from, and follow that all the way through of how you react, right? Remember we talked about Paul even said, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I don't do. See, you're either reacting according to the old man or responding to the new. Right? So if you will certainly search out who told me that, where did you come from, person, place, and thing. Emotions have a voice telling you to react or respond. An unhealthy emotion will cause you to react. A healthy emotion will cause you to respond. Now, by removing the emotional attachment, you have shut the door to the spirits having access to you. Once you agree with that emotion, it gives legal right to those spirits. Why? Because spirits get fed by emotion. That's how they're fed. Then people wonder why they're struggling. Go to Matthew 12, please. You know, think about this environment thing. Okay, so you're brought up in a family. You lived in a coal mine area, right? Well, my father, my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather were coal miners. Everybody has died at an early age. But the person won't break that emotional attachment because it's man-pleasing to be somebody in the family. And knowing that that person's going to die at an early age. Because of the emotional attachments. In Matthew chapter 12. In verse 43. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. From which I came. What's the house? You. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Underline, put in order. This is called divine order. That's the key word here. Put in order. See, he goes back and he says, man, this is put in order. He wasn't going back there to see there was empty of demonic forces, that none of his brothers or, you know, his homies were living in there anymore. What was affecting him to turn around was that it was put in divine order. Does everybody get it? So what does he do? He turns around and he what? He goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So the key word here is put in order. The spirit needed to go get a person out of divine order so he could get access. Gets other spirits from the past that have been removed, attacks them, reestablishes emotional attachments, and re-enters. See, now I want to share something with you, because God will test you. God allows testing. He'll test us to expose the spirits by positioning us in divine order or position. The purpose Jesus came was to what? Expose. So when you're out of divine position, when you're out of divine order that God has placed, you open yourself up. The next thing you know, there's a spirit knocking on your door reminding you of an emotional attachment. He's got to come with seven more. Why? His purpose is to get you out of divine order within you. What does he try to do? He tries to get the job first. He tries to get the pleasure first before what? God. He tries to get all of these things before God. And he begins to attach. So you miss a service. You miss two services. You miss now he's got you fellowshipping somewhere besides God. You're fellowshipping at the pool hall. Uh-huh. You're fellowshipping in another place now. I'm talking secular. Well, they're just old friends. Well, let me tell you something. You're putting something before you've made a commitment to God. Now that emotional attachments are being reestablished in certain areas. And this is how people lose their deliverance. The key word here again is put in order. Sometimes God repositions us without a cause or reason of our own understanding to expose those spirits. You might be crying out, oh Lord, show me, help me, I'm calling out for deliverance. And God will cause a circumstance in your life to expose it. Something will occur. Why? Because he's trying to bring something to you. And what he's always trying to bring to you is freedom. Is healing freedom? Yes. Does God desire that you be healed? Yes. Does he desire that you be delivered? Yes. Now, we know that the enemy's always going to try to come against it. And let me share something with you, which I just recently learned. When a weightlifter works out, he doesn't grow while he's working out. He grows while he's resting. I never knew that. So he's actually growing while he's resting, not while he's working out. In other words, that's why they tell them to work out and then don't work out that same area for another a week or whatever. Because what's happening? He's actually growing while he's resting. Why? Because he's healing. And waiting is one of the greatest tests that God uses with us. It exposes how carnal you really are. It exposes all those emotional attachments. Because we want what we want right now. I got to have it now. And that's an emotional attachment. So God causes us to wait because we've been crying out for freedom. See, but during this waiting period, you're not to give up. You're not to grow weary. You're to maintain what you're still doing. Why? And God will expose. Why? See, during this wait time, you're able to see then. The thing is when there's a wait period, people begin to go to try to create something else instead of wait when God is trying to rescue them from that. So what happens is that the devil moves them out of position again because God is saying, wait. They've attached themselves to more emotional attachments. Now they're miserable. They can't even stand themselves. That's it, I'm done. I quit. They might as well do that, you know, the top hat. And give a show. And they become miserable and tormented. And they're trying to touch all kinds of things and do all kinds of things because nothing's working. It's because you haven't waited for God. You haven't waited. Why? You're to be waiting so he can expose and you can remove that emotional attachment so you can go to the place and handle his things. The Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. We just talked about places. People. Bad company corrupts good habits. In Psalm 1, would you turn there for a second? Bad company corrupts good habits. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or the counsel of the secular. Bad company corrupts good habits. It's amazing in how many people will go get counsel from the world just because they're successful. Nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the word of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Hallelujah. By meditating, it's a representation of imaging, focusing. He meditates. What's he doing? He's putting it into practice. You know, all of this takes practice. He's meditating. He's looking. All right, yes. He's utilizing. He's not wavering. He's not looking to the left or the right. He's holding on. He's using God's word on his behalf. He's not chasing prophecies. He's chasing the Lord. People. People in authorities. You know, that your overseers or whatever. People. Parents, elders, teachers, even people's heroes. Those that they say they love you. But it's conditional. If you do this, I love you. Those are all areas where there's emotional attachments. People's with coaches or clergy or rock star heroes, you know. The media, all of these things affect people, don't they? These people impact our future with abilities and self-worth and self-image. But if there are wrong emotional attachments, the end result will always produce fear. Fear. People have been harmed. That's why the devil loves abuse. Let me share something with you. The three areas that are emotionally attached in an individual is fear, rejection, and regret. Fear, rejection, and regret. Everything's, of course, those are all associated with fear, aren't they? Regret will tear you up. Regret always causes you to look back. Man, I remember when I was making all that money. Now look at me. I remember when I was doing all this stuff. Now look at me. No, you look at you. Who's telling you that and where is it coming from? Those are all emotional attachments. I remember when. You better kill it. Now, an individual, and I've shared this before, there are people that have emotional attachments are dangerous. They're unstable. Now, I'm not talking about healthy emotional attachments. I'm talking about many people who have unhealthy emotional attachments because they'll say one thing and do another. Rejection, a person that's involved in much rejection in their life will eventually betray. They'll betray you. Relationships with conditional love, if you do this, I'll do that. If not, I react in offense. People that manipulate, the reason why they manipulate is because of a self-image. They can't trust God. So they manipulate. They try to weasel in things and try to manipulate because of that self-image. It's an emotional attachment. Baby Huey syndrome, you know? They pout. They get miserable because something didn't go their way. I need to take the Holy Ghost baseball bat. Bam! Those are all emotional attachments. Abuse, children. Disrespectful, alcoholics, complainers, users and drugs and addicts. This is all portraying a belief system of a wrong self-image. That's why children who are abused usually abuse. Who are abused? You know? There's a lot of people who they say, "Well, that's just how I am." I don't like when people come to me and say, "Well, I'm only human." No, you're not. You're supposed to be eternal. Human has to associate with secular attachments, emotional attachments. You keep saying you're human, then you come under the wrong covering. You're eternal. You're a child of the offspring. You're Christ-like. That's why you're called a Christian. Well, people make the excuse, "I'm only human," and that's an excuse, isn't it? Because of the wrong self-image. That self-image has built in, it's built an attitude. Did you ever get around somebody with a bad attitude? Miserable all the time? Respond disrespectful in attitude? Yeah. Never grateful? A taker or never a giver? It's kind of a self-image. And that self-image has been betrayed by an individual, a place, or thing. Did you ever get around a couch potato? Lazy person? Stuck in their ways, not willing or wanting to change? Something's about to happen then. People would rather sit in front of the TV for days. Or the computer for days. For entertainment. Always entertaining. Entertaining. Instead of spending their time with family. That's because of the wrong self-image. You know, God will always test us to see if we're willing to do whatever it takes. And while He's testing you, He's going to expose these emotional attachments that are unhealthy. People who make excuses no matter what and blame others, not willing to be responsible. Let me share with you, principles don't change habits, images do. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinks or as a man sees, so he is. So until that self-image is changed by the belief system and the emotional attachments are severed, that old man self-image will constantly be there. And you will react to things instead of respond to things. Hallelujah. Look at forgiveness. Oh, praise God. People will not forgive. You know, the enemy will always turn something good into something bad. You know, that's his job. He turns something good into something bad. I want to go to things. What about music? That's a thing. Remember how music has emotional attachment? Whoa, does it have an emotional attachment? Yeah, I remember when. Music, pictures, clothing, items, idols. Because of emotional attachment. Of course, we know about cursed items and so forth. Even food can have an emotional attachment. Do you ever hear people say, "Oh, I love that. I'll give anything for it"? I know somebody that sold their birthright for a bowl of beans or lentils or whatever it was. Emotional attachment. Because he was well known of his hunting. He became reliant on his talent. He allowed his talent to lead him. People allow their talents to lead them and their abilities instead of the spirit because of an emotional attachment. "Well, I'm good at this, man. I can do that." That's emotional attachment. And they can never, they only allow God to lead them for so far, and then they have to take over right away because they're afraid of losing control. Fear again. Fear always brings bondage, doesn't it? You know, people go crazy, especially with money. Whew. Money is a killer. It's the root of all evil, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. People will go through great lengths to get money. If they would go to great lengths to get in the presence of God, they'd have all they needed. But those emotional attachments prevent an individual from getting there. Now, how many of y'all know God's trying to get you finances? He's trying to get you healing. He's trying to get your position. But see, that self-image of who you used to be or what has been portrayed and imparted in you, the enemy is going to use that until you sever those emotional attachments with that. God said, I came here to bring you life and life abundantly, right? Hallelujah. Listen, the devil always wants to prevent you from going forward. Go to Ezekiel 14 for a second, please. So when things begin to happen and God begins to do the testing, remember, the testing has got to come. Now, let me share with you. The lesson is going to induce the testing. Hello? So what you've been getting, God is testing. What's he doing? Exposing. Testing is always associated with exposing. Why? Because he's trying to, once the testing will produce the blessing. If you pass the testing, you get the blessing. What's he trying to do? Get something to you. Get something to you. So the lessons that we're getting now is going to do the testing because the exposure is coming. He's giving you things now that you can look at so that you can expose and begin to sever emotional attachments. So when something occurs, the first thing you're going to go is, who told me that and where did you come from? And you're going to look at three things: people, place, and thing. Does everybody got it? Now, when you get angry, I'm telling you, if you look, there's an image there. You are looking at yourself according to your mother, your father, or somebody abused you. If you stopped and you looked at how when you react, see, because you're going to see yourself respond in the image of Christ, or you're going to see yourself react in the image of a person, place, or a thing. And that's where you got to begin to sever emotional ties, emotional attachments. Are you hearing me? This is what's going to bring total freedom. Ezekiel 14:3. Would you read it with me? Son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their hearts, and be put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their heart, because they are all estrayed from me by their what? Idols, things. Things that are more important. God didn't, listen, he doesn't mind us enjoying things. He doesn't mind us having pleasurable things, but he never wants that to go before him. In other words, let me share this with you. We were doing the homeless feeding. People were coming in, the homeless were coming in to get fed. They weren't coming in to get God. Right? They were coming in to get fed and hope that we can make the exchange with them of the way they were living and remove that self-image, knowing that you don't have to live on the streets. There are places for you. But they would first come in to get fed. Their whole purpose of coming is to get fed. But God's cool. He loves to bait people too, you know. Come on. Who are the disciples? Fishermen. You know. Now I want to share something with you, because people always believe that where they came from was what God is going to use them. That's not true. There are drug addicts and drug lords that are now attorneys. You can never allow any of those attachments lead your life. You must allow the Holy Spirit to. So you were a cook, so you were this, so you were that. Never be led by your talent or what you've experienced. Be led by the Holy Spirit. So we want to remove these idols, don't we? Let me share something with you, very important again. Emotional attachments have a false comfort belief system. People run to that false comfort because of an emotional attachment. That's why many people run into the area of the world. The comfort of quitting something is associated with emotional attachment. So they'll quit something to feel comfortable. But it's a false comfort. People take medication for a false comfort. You know how many people get, what do you call those things? They're fake. Placebos. People get placebos and they get healthy thinking they got a flu shot or something, you know? Because it's the belief system. So when your belief system changes, so will your image, your self-image. Do you ever get around someone and said, man, I wish I had this and I wish I had that? Man, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. In other words, they're wishing on something because of a self-image. You don't have to wish. God said, I've provided all you need. Wishing has nothing to do with it. I wish I was better. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. No. You've got to change that self-image because wishing has no hope at all. Wishing has no belief at all. It's false. It's a lie. Well, I guess we got to close. One more time. And we're going to go through the emotional attachments, lists, and so forth so we can get this together. But I just want you to understand, I want you to begin to look and focus now. And you can start your own list. And how you react to certain things. Why did you give up? Why were you weary? Why did you do, are you getting, why didn't you do what you wanted to do when you knew it was right? Who told you that and where did it come from? That's what we're going to start to look at. Who told you that? Where did it come from? And three areas, people, place, and things. When you get in your car and you sense a fear or you sense something, find out, wait a minute, who told me that and where did that come from? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will give you a picture. You will see it. And you write those three things down. I'm going to talk about severing them and so forth. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Did you get it? Going to use it? Remember, you got to practice it. Practice it. Why aren't I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Who told me that, and where did it come from? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your forgiveness in any area of emotional attachments. We sever them from us, Lord. I ask that you open our eyes to continue to expose these areas in our life. In every area. Every area. So that we can become perfectly, cleanfully free. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.